This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April Fool's 2026 WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. It is totally unscreened radio. John is off on an adventure, and I'm here talking to you. So the way it works, you give us a call, or me a call, 888-876-5593. And I'll put you on hold if I'm not talking to somebody else at the moment. Now, if I am, it's just going to ring. Now, the problem is, going back to the days when Art Bell was all unscreened all the time, no longer will the phone ring indefinitely. For the most part, after a while, they're going to cut you off. And so when that happens, you need to call back. And that's about all I can tell you. But if you persist, we'll be together. Last night, just a full board of calls. In fact, had four people hanging on when the show ended. Tonight, it is wide open territory. So it is April 1st, of course, and I was wondering, before we get to some of these pranks, and there are some infamous ones, why April 1st? And there's several lines of thought. Some think there's a secret religious history, but never mind that. Let's just discuss the Gregorian calendar, which debuted in 1852, or was it, 1582, I'm sorry, 1852, that'd be a little too recent. 1582, and it debuted 1582 in France. They adopted the Gregorian calendar. And interesting, that created a certain amount of problems, because New Year moved from April 1st to January 1st, leaving those who celebrated it later to be considered April Fools. That's right. You forgot January 1st. You celebrated on April 1st. Well, you're just an April Fool. I like that. Also, ties to the vernal equinox, don't you know? Reasonably close, anyway. And then there's all the ancient festivals that we could go over. And the bottom line is the tradition grew popular in the 1700s in Great Britain, and that is where they started in with all the practical jokes. Exactly why, I'm not 100% sure, but by the way, I'm putting you on hold while we're speaking, or trying to anyway, so we'll see what I can do about that. Proving I cannot hold a thought hostage, and I keep disconnecting people, it's even worse. All right, so I'm sorry about that. If I've disconnected you, please call back. It's one of those things, but we'll get there. Yeah, I was just reading symptoms of Alzheimer's and started to really worry when one of them said you can't multitask. Well, at the moment, I don't think I can, but I put a couple people on hold anyway, so that'll give us something to talk about. Now, before we get there, and we will talk a little about Dash Crofts tonight too, and wanted to play Alibaba among other things, but there have been prank after prank on April 1st, which, by the way, let me also mention before I do anything else, rest in peace, the real Don Steele. He would have turned 90 today. Yeah, born in Hollywood, California. Yeah, to a mother who was a stripper. Yeah, try going to Hollywood High with that reputation. But he did, and he survived. And anyway, the deal is that he would have been 90, but died, wow, almost 30 years ago. And 61 years old. So rest in peace, Real Don Steele. But somehow appropriate that he was born on April 1st, because he was nothing if not a prankster, and a good one too. All right, so as far as renowned pranks of days gone by, I had no idea about this. It was BBC, which is not normally known as humor and frivolity for the most part, but on April Fool Days 1957, BBC informed their viewers about the spaghetti farm in Switzerland where pasta grew on trees. They even had a fabricated video featuring Swiss women harvesting spaghetti from an orchard, narrated by an actual war correspondent who normally would have credibility, Richard Dimbley. So bottom line is people were ready to believe it because he'd been straightforward up to this point. So, it certainly added to the believability. So in his narration, he noted the annual harvest was expected to be particularly bountiful thanks to the eradication of the spaghetti weevil, which was considered to be the plant's main predator. Now, the part that stunned me, because this is 1957, all right, this is not all that long ago in the scheme of things. And in the explanation, it said, the reason the Brits fell for it was that in 1957, most were not familiar with Italian food. How is that even possible? What, you're telling me 1957 there is absolutely no spaghetti and meatballs? Well, apparently not. And it was interesting because people called the BBC. They didn't call to say, are you out of your ever-loving minds? They called to find out how they could grow their own spaghetti-producing plants. And so the phone operators instructed the gullible to place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best. And it was so believable that the horrible part is some staff members on the BBC bought it, including the general director of the BBC. They should rethink that right there. Who researched the purported farm, utilizing several independent sources before he realized that it was a ruse. Yes, but he spent many hours with this before he discovered that maybe there was no, spaghetti tree. Richard Nixon's 1992 presidential campaign, never mind that he couldn't have run even if he wanted to because he'd already been elected twice, but apparently NPR, rollicking fools that they are, NPR's Talk of the Nation, April 1st, 1992, you got the shock of a lifetime. They enlisted, by the way, Rich Little, who could sound a lot like Richard Nixon, to say the least, maybe you remember. And he announced that he would seek the office, and listeners were confused, but many immediately called to profess their opposition. They just did not want Nixon running. The guy at NPR, John Hockenberry, came up with this, teamed up with Rich Little on this, and so here comes Little doing his best Richard Nixon to announce the new campaign slogan, I never did anything wrong, and I won't do it again. And so, and apparently, it didn't go on for days. NPR copped to the prank fairly quickly in there. Then there was April 1st, 1996. Yeah, 30 years ago today. The Taco Liberty Bell, apparently Taco Bell, announced that they acquired the Liberty Bell. And they actually spent money on this, not on the bell, on the advertising. They spent $300,000 buying full-page, multicolor ads in seven major local newspapers, including the Philadelphia Inquirer. And here was Taco Bell announcing that they not only had bought the Liberty Bell, but they had officially renamed it the Taco Liberty Bell. Furthermore, they claimed that they cut a deal with the government through which the purchase of the landmark would help the country pay off their national debt. And apparently, the people who got inundated was the Park Service. Furious Americans calling the Park Service to express their outrage. And, of course, it's a monument, so that's who you would call, but it's interesting that enough of them figured out how to call and didn't figure out that this couldn't be true. The White House press secretary at the time was Mike McCurry, and he joined in the fun. He announced that Ford Motor Company is joining today in an effort to refurbish the Lincoln Memorial. It will be known as the Lincoln Mercury Memorial. And apparently, this went on for quite a while, but Taco Bell's $300,000 investment in ads turned out to be terrific. It garnered over $25 million in publicity, but more the point, spiked sales by $600,000 the next day. You know, and I've mentioned this before, it's absolutely true. I can't believe I'm willing to admit this, but for years I thought that Taco Bell was the Mexican phone company. But that's another story. Yes, indeed. And the Google Gulp. Yes, many of us have a thirst for knowledge, but Google once bottled that desire in the tangible yet entirely fictitious product of Google Gulp, April Fool's Day 2005. And it was a soft drink jam-packed with Google's auto drink technology. Google claimed that the drinks were meant to increase each drinker's cognitive ability because the beverage had a DNA scanner embedded in the lip of the bottle. Let me stop there. If you knew that, would you try this bottle? Reading all 3 gigabytes of your basic pair genetic data in a fraction of a section to achieve maximum optimization of your soon-to-be grateful cerebral cortex. Google made the beverage a little hard to come by. In order to get the beverage, you had to turn in a Google bottle cap from a used Gulp bottle. The only problem is, of course, there were no used Gulp bottles because the product didn't exist. And, of course, 2013, Google, those funny guys themselves invented Google Nose, allowing you to smell what you were searching for. 2018, they hid Waldo on Google Maps, and the following year, they added the mobile game Snake to Google Maps. Oh, yeah, that's a laugh a minute if you're trying to go somewhere. And but the funniest one, and I don't know if they did this intentionally. I can only guess they must have. Gmail was launched on April 1st, 2004. And the way it was advertised at the time, people thought it was too good to be true, and they thought it was a April Fool's Day prank. And it was a while before they realized it was a real product. All right, so enough of April 1st, April Fool's Day. Rest in peace, the real Don Steele. And also, a very big happy birthday. We got to do that because it is Dr. Domeno's 85th birthday. All right, so born in 1941 in Minneapolis. So, okay. So, of course, we will play a Weird Al Yankovic in celebration of that. But first, let's see if we can find out who's here and what you want, all right, as far as that goes. So, see if anybody hung on long enough, we'll try and figure that out and say, welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you?
Hello, Rolly. Thanks for taking my call. Guess who?
Okay. And so appreciate that. And sorry to say, can't do it because I promised John I wouldn't do it. All right, so WGN Radio, who are you? Where are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Donna, and I'm in Oak Lawn.
All right, Donna, what's up?
I'm calling you to inform you of some exciting news. I got this from Yahoo a couple of days ago on their news service, so you can Google it later on. Coca-Cola is now serving yellow-capped bottled Coke for Passover. They cannot use corn products.
Yeah, this is not new. Not new. They do it every year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now you can pick up American Coke and stock it, store it away.
Yeah.
I know that's going to make you a happy camper.
Well, no, actually, I'll stick with my Mexican variety. But they've been doing this for many, many years, as far as that goes. But more to the point, they announced about 6 months ago that they were going to bottle Coke with regular sugar in America. I don't know if that started or it hasn't. I use my Mexican Coke and I'm happy with it. But the Passover thing is not widely known. I'm glad you mentioned that because I think tonight is the first night of Passover.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, so
happy matzo to you.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Why is this night different from all other nights? All right. We won't discuss. So, see, I know a little bit about this.
Oh, lovely Passover.
Yes, you too. Thank you. All right. So, 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And let's see. Who are you? Where are you? Welcome to WGN. Ah, well, you're nowhere is where you are, which is all right. We got a few other people to get to, but right now I want to do this, and then we'll be back with, in celebration of Dr. Domeno turning 85. Have I got a Weird Al song for you? Coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, hey, how you doing? Have a seat, have a drink. Boy, it's good to see you. What can I say? Oh, sorry, gotta run. We'll get together again. Say, what was your name anyway? Well, we're working. working on the problem. We'll get back to you soon, yeah. But don't try to call me. I'll be in a meeting every afternoon for a year, maybe longer. Keep in touch. Just thanks for dropping by and have a nice day. The check's in the mail.
Hey,
you're beautiful. Don't ever change.
You know what I mean.
My girl will call your girl. We'll talk, we'll do lunch, or leave a message on my machine. So baby, won't you sign on the dotted line? Gonna make your dreams come true. The check's in the mail. Would I lie to you? Well, hey, wait a minute, what's the matter? Hold on, you want me to fork over the loot? You say you hate my guts, you wanna take me to court, and you got yourself a lawyer with a three-piece suit. Well, I'm proud to say you're not the only critic of mine,
yeah.
So if you wanna sue me, I'm afraid you're gonna have to wait in line. Take a number, thanks for calling. Who loves you, baby? Don't forget to read the fine print. Say the check's in the mail.
Hey,
you're beautiful, don't ever change. So baby, won't you sign on the dotted line? Gonna make your dreams come true. The check's in the mail.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, what a fine song. That's on Weird Al Yankovic's first album, named, of course, Weird Al Yankovic. I love Rocky Road and a number of other things. My Bologna and, let's see, another one, Rides the Bus. They're all on it, but so is the checks in the mail. And it was Fran who wanted to hear that, and I thought it was just perfect to wish Dr. Domeno the happiest of birthdays. So we'll be back to take your calls and more coming up on WGN Radio.
I know how, and it's my duty to know his mood when he gets moody. Yeah, I give him what he needs, and that's why I'm his right now. Yes, I know I love him right, 'cause I know how, yeah, I know how. Yes, I know how to hold him when he needs holding. And I know how to kiss him when he needs kissing.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Loretta Lynn. Yeah, On Decca, 1970. Of course, Owen Bradley produced it. Loretta wrote it. I know how. All right, so 888-876-5593. Trying to do this in order. And, of course, if you're just joining us and you want to call, I hope you will, but it's unscreened. So I put you on hold where you will last and hear probably very little until you're on the air. It's that simple. But if I'm talking to somebody, I can't put you on hold, so it's just going to ring. Unfortunately, after a while, it'll stop ringing, and you'll have to do it again, because unlike the days gone by when it was all step-by-step phones, you could let it ring for hours. Doesn't work quite that way anymore. But you can call back, and you will hopefully get me. And apologies for this. That's this week and next week. Tomorrow night, we have half a show. That's right. I expect I'll be on about 11:30. And Monday night, we have less than that, Monday Night Trivia. But then next Tuesday through Thursday, I think that it is smooth sailing. But I will check that out again. Now, WGN Radio, who are you? Where are you?
Hello, this is Alf. I'm east of the Rockies.
Okay.
And believe it or not, I do not mean to take up all the time, but believe it or not, I'm going to do it anyway. April Fool, this is John from Covington. I hope I made you smile.
There you go, John. Appreciate it. I thought it might be you. All right. Appreciate that. Okay, thanks. Yes, absolutely. So, all right. It is April Fool, so anything goes. So that's anything goes anyway. All right. Who are you? Where are you? Welcome to WGN. Well, you're gone is where you are. All right. So apologies to those of you hanging on. We'll try this and see. Are you there?
Chuck?
All right, Chuck in Rockford. All right. What's up tonight?
Well, since it's April Fool's Day, I wanted to remember my grandfather. He was born in 1885. If he was still around, he'd be 141.
And where was he born?
In Maine.
Okay.
And he was orphaned quite young. His father got killed by a team of horses, and his mother drowned crossing a river in Nova Scotia. I guess he learned cigar making in an orphanage, and he had that as a part-time thing. Anytime he had spare time, he made cigars. But also, they made a cowboy out of him at the age of 13, and he went on a cattle drive all the way to Mexico.
Interesting. You know, making cigars and cigarettes and all that in orphanages is actually not unusual when you go back to the 1800s. And they did it. Sometimes it was charitable, like fundraising, but most of the time it was a way to get, cheap child labor. And very often it would be sent to Central America and all that kind of stuff. So he wasn't alone.
Yeah. It paid off for him because he learned it and did it well. He had it as a cottage industry, that he could always fall back on during the Depression years.
Yeah.
And make the cigars at home.
All right.
So I think they did him a favor there. But,
I was going to say, it was more useful. It was much more useful than, say, geometry. Yeah, why not?
He met my grandmother out in South Dakota, and she is a single girl. Actually, had staked out 160 acres as a farm. Well, I guess farm or whatever you want to call it. But she, part of her deal was that she would sell it to a relative, and he was wanting to make a ranch, and I think he wanted to get a section together, which would have been 600 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was out near Pierre.
Okay.
But it was Highmore, South Dakota. And then they came to the Midwest here after... they had proved up on that.
What did your orphaned grandfather do to woo this woman of means? Because she had 160 acres. How did he convince her that he was the one?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess they also had a restaurant and a bakery in town. Her sisters, one of them came a week short of 100 years.
Wow.
And the other one lived to be 105, and the secret to her longevity was that she had oil royalties from Kerr McGee.
Money will do that, no matter how you get it. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I knew a guy that lived to be 114.
Wow.
And that was his secret.
He was a
bank president and owned some farms and stuff. And I guess he wrecked his car he passed out while he was driving at 100.
Uh-huh.
And they gave him a pacemaker. And I think that gave him the 14 more years.
Yeah.
There.
Well, good.
But I got to know him when he was 110. I was quite fascinated. He was up and mobile, walking and talking, and He had a good mathematical mind, too, you know, and he was telling me about a lot of things that went on in his lifetime, too.
Sure.
And I kind of think he might have inherited some money from his uncle, because his uncle was in the gold rush and did very well. And I guess a lot of other people that did well, you know, for that Pullman company. And I think the Dodge company were people that had done well in the gold rush.
Well, you know, it's interesting because if you lived, say, 100 years, not that many people did, many centuries ago, life would have been pretty much the same when you were born as when you died, because things didn't really change that much. But if you're talking about living 114 years now, the difference now and 100 years ago is just monumental. And it's really since the 1800s, the first time we've seen those kind of shifts in one lifetime. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I almost every, it's kind of getting lonesome for me.
Well, of course. No, hey, the older we get, forget about it, you know.
Yeah, you know, I see check on my hometown, you know, and I'll see kids that I went to school with and that, and they've died in nursing homes of Alzheimer's and one thing and another.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, of course, I guess, you know, they weren't even living, you know, living at home.
Yeah, you know,
at that time,
it's really interesting because when we're 30 or when we're 40, you know, we're all kind of alike. But after you hit about 60, the differences start. And some, you know, to such a degree, like I say, 35, hey, we're all the same. But man, I'll tell you, 70, forget about it. And the older you get, the more the differences are stark. Some people are working and out gardening, and other people are bedridden and everything in between. So, yeah, it is very interesting how it happens.
Well, you know, I had kind of forgot about it, but 50 years ago, I was doing handstands and walking
You're
on
right.
my hands.
Right.
And I wish that I'd have kept it up as long as possible, but I did that to entertain my granddaughter.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. But there and, are, you know, many people who couldn't have done that. So we're all different that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got into tumbling when I was in school.
Mm.
And I wanted, you know, to progress to tight wire walking and, you know, trapeze and all that stuff.
Oh, man.
But I never got that far with it. But
you know, it's interesting you say things like tightrope walking. When I was a radio editor for Billboard many years ago, on a slow day, I would go into their archives. And they started out as a carnival magazine for you know, the traveling fairs and all that.
Oh, I know about that because I was a carny kid, and I used to pick the Billboard up for my dad.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it was called, the Billboard. That's right. And then ultimately what they did, they formed another publication, Amusement Business, to deal with the fairs, and they started Billboard in a music way. But back when it was the carny, the things you were reading, I loved reading the want ads. And it would be like tightrope walker needed, or, you know, circus needs fat lady. I mean, it was hilarious. And, you know, I mean, it's so politically incorrect today, but you know, there was no shortage of desire for tightrope walkers.
Oh, the sideshows or something else too.
Yeah, the Midway, absolutely. Yeah, she's live. One dime, one tenth of a dollar. Step right up, folks. Yeah, of course, I went into all those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got a question.
Yeah.
You know what do you call it? Gypsies.
Uh-huh.
Were they from Romania? I know Hitler wanted to do away with them.
Right. I mean, mostly, yeah, but it was nomadic. They didn't actually originate in Romania. They actually came from northern India, and they migrated to Europe and Romania between the 10th and the 14th centuries. And so
now, Romania... Did the word gyp come from them, or were they known as gypsies before?
You know, That's an interesting thing. And, of course, it's it really derives not from Jip, but from Egyptian. And because there were people way back centuries ago who thought that they were all coming from Egypt.
Oh.
So yeah, it came from that. And it's just derogatory.
Well, usually if you get a bad deal, you get gypped.
Of course you do. Right. And it, by the way, gypsies didn't come from this, but it's very possible that Jip came from gypsies. You know, maybe that way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know,
I would assume, by the way, I would assume that it came from gypsies. And if I don't go and play commercial, something bad's going to happen to me. So we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, well, good to talk.
Okay. Likewise. Always fun, Chuck. Here. Yes, absolutely. Good to hear from you. Thanks. And we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. Oh, I see. And it's my fault. That's right. Adam's selling me the Sea Crane. Of course. How could I forget? I love this product. Well, I love everything Bob Crane developed, actually, because the one commonality is everything just has tremendous reception. And that goes for Wi-Fi radio, too. As I know you're not thinking about a Wi-Fi radio and reception, but here's the deal. If you've got, you know, a wireless router or wireless access point, you know, some things connect beautifully and other things, well, not so much. I'll tell you what, the CC Wi-Fi 3 is just a dream. So if you struggle with getting good reception at all at home from any of your wireless products, the CC Wi-Fi 3 will just leave them all in the dust. And, of course, the audio is great, better than any smartphone in the world, and crystal clear, no static, no fade, like terrestrial radio. The beauty is you can get literally 100,000 stations, and I'm probably not exaggerating, by anywhere all over the world, and some just online only. So no matter what it is you are interested in hearing, there is something for you. And the beauty of the CC Wi-Fi 3 is you don't sign up for an app. There's no microphone listening on you. There's no ads on the screen, no monthly fee. There's a full-size remote control. You're in control, and the beauty of it is it's easy to use. Yeah, I plunked it down on John's desk, and he's not one for reading the manual, nor is he one for usually figuring this stuff out. And I was surprised. I was waiting for Raleigh, and it didn't happen. He connected it just like a charm. So great reception for a much greater distance. And, you know, everything is easy to use, and literally the world is your oyster. So if you're into audio, as long as you've got a wireless access point or wireless router, then this is for you. Now, if you don't, and you want to buy a gift for somebody who does, the CC Wi-Fi 3 is tremendous. They've got great customer service. You can call them if you can't go online at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, it's a repository, great information, as well as great radios and great Wi-Fi radios like the CC Wi-Fi 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Hello, operator. Is it any wonder that I'm calling for a number? I'm alone and want a date for tonight. Hello, operator. Help me find a little honey who would help me spend my money. Will you find a date for me who'd be just right? I'll be in town for just a while. For goodness sake, please start to dial a number that would keep me company. Hello, operator. Don't you have a friend that's lonesome, one that I can call my own? Some can't you find a cutie to go out with me?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, it was Andy from Norwich who had three requests, and Hello Operator was one of them. That was on 78 on Shellac, and also on 45 in 1954 on Columbia. He wrote it, don't you know? So who is Dusty Owens? I have no idea. I know his name was Robert Kacharski, but other than that, I know absolutely nothing. Eight releases, and that's know nothing about this guy. I think he was on the Wheeling Jamboree. That's about all I remember. All right, so 888-876-5593. Who are you and where are you? And welcome to WGN.
Am I Karen in Madison?
Okay.
My in-law?
That's you.
Okay, so I'm up?
You are.
Okay. Hi, Raleigh.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Different way of
calling. Well, there's no other way to do it for the next 2 weeks, so it was either this or not do the show, so here I am.
Well, I called two times, and then you'd say, you know, who are you and where are you from?
Yeah.
So I'd say something, but two other people, it's fun.
Well,
it's
good.
Different.
All right.
I'd like to request two things. I don't like to ask this, but, you know, I'll give you the request, and you can decide. One is Love Is the Answer, the instrumental stylistics, or unless if somebody else did it, I'd take
okay.
that too.
What else?
Because I don't. And Wonder Wheel, I know Darius Rucker, but if you want to give me another version, I'd take that too.
All right. I will try to do at least one of them next. If I can find Love Is the Answer, I will.
Yeah, and I'll listen. I'll keep listening, and you don't have. I don't want you to be rushed. I want you to enjoy. You know, I don't want rush. I'm one of those over empathetic people.
Oh, aren't you nice?
You know, and I just want to say to Fran, Madison has got paratransit and.
Oh, you know, it does, but Madison has the same problem Austin does if you're not liberal. That's all I'll say. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Madison's a lot like Austin.
But just stay home and don't you know.
Yeah, don't ever go out. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right.
I just listen to you.
Well,
you
and
know.
I appreciate that. And it's time for the news. Thank you for calling. I'll get your request
okay.
on, I promise. All right.
Thank
so
you.
Good deal. So, yeah, the People's Republic of Madison. All right. So now we will find out what's going on in the world at large and get back to it right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Little Eva makes it, and she's not even credited on that record. But that is Little Eva. Big D Irwin, 1963 on Dimension. Jerry Goffin produced that, and they can tell they had a good time doing it, too. Big D Irwin was an interesting act all the way around. His real first name was DeFosco. No wonder D. In any event, he joined the Air Force when he was very young, stationed in Greenland, and formed a singing group, the Pastels. He He was lead singer, and they did a song that you would know, Been So Long. Yeah, if you're a doo-wop fan, it was leased to Chess. Originally it had been on Mascot, but they released it to Chess, and they issued it on Argo, one of their labels. And this is right about the time that the Pastels were being discharged from the Air Force. So he was going to be in civilian life again, and what a way to start it when your record gets to number 4 on the R&B charts, which it did. So he did very well with that all the way around. Unfortunately, if you're looking for something else he did very well with, well, give up. By the way, I'm putting you on hold. As you know, it's absolutely unscreened all the time for the next 2 weeks. So that's what's going on here. And if I'm not talking to somebody else, I will put you on hold, and we'll hopefully get to you. All right. So that said, it was Fran who wanted to hear Big D Irwin, who, as I say, here he was with the Pastels. Then ultimately he struck out on his own, and I think he was on a hold for a couple things, and then Dimension, and that turned out to be the big hit. And that was really it. And he released some disco stuff when everybody else and the brother did too. You don't want to hear it. And ultimately he was in Las Vegas and died of heart failure in 95. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And again, it's unscreened radio this week and next week. So I put you on hold and we get you in order. We find out who you are when I answer the phone. Like, welcome back to WGN Radio. Who is this?
This is Fran.
All right, Fran. Good. Well, you heard two of your requests, Swinging on a Star.
I was just going to say, thank you for playing my two requests there.
Sure.
I just love that one moon beam. You gobble.
I know. And to think she was uncredited because she's what made it.
I know. That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe it when you said that.
Yeah,
it would have just been him singing that, and then although it's good and everything, that's what makes it.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
Yeah, this is... Yeah, which I do.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know it was one of those things where she was just there and just did it, and it worked.
Oh, yeah. And it was just perfectly timed and just...
Yeah.
It was just fantastic. And just her expressions and, you know... But anyway, thank you for playing those. And I wanted to tell you about a April Fool's joke.
Yes.
I played.
Let me hear.
You can probably see what's coming. I had a friend who was a bus driver.
Okay.
And she was about the same size as me. So we decided that I was going to put on her uniform.
No.
And sit in the driver's seat with my big old sunglasses on and my white cane sitting right there on the side, of the seat next to me. And the funny part of it was that, we thought right away somebody would react. A couple of people kind of took a look and walked past the bus.
Okay.
Because we were in a kind of a transit center where a lot of the buses stop. So they would kind of look and, almost like, how could you not realize this is a joke?
But, right.
and some people just got on the bus and put in their fare. And it's like, they don't even look at the bus driver. And I would even say, good morning, and smile and all that. And they just didn't even look. And so this one guy, he comes up and he says, this is a joke, right? I said, no. I said, I have special equipment that will help me drive a bus.
Oh, Jesus.
And, I said, totally straight-faced. Yeah. And I said, I get a beep when there's a car, within a certain amount of miles of me and all this stuff. And he said, and he started laughing. He said, that's pretty good. we had a lot of fun with that. And of course then, she,
fessed up.
I went and put my clothes back on and she took her, uniform back, and we laughed about that for a long time. It was so much fun.
Well,
it was amazing how many people just walked past
that.
It was
that's
nothing to see a woman with a white cane and dark glasses up there ready to drive the bus.
These are the same people who will get on Waymo.
I know. And then I was thinking, you know, here we did this, and in fact, I was on a paratransit vehicle today, and they had to brake really hard. And I said to the driver, "What happened?" And he said, "A whammo."
Oh, no.
And he said, "It just cut in front of me."
Oh, geez.
And, you know, I thought, God, the drivers out there are bad enough. Now we got to worry about these whammos. And there have been a lot of, especially in school zones.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that. There have been a lot of incidents. And I think a couple of people were even, I read that one person died.
Really?
But, you know, people have been hit and, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm glad I'm not crossing streets anymore, because I was kind of anxious. I've always been anxious about street crossing and never was really good at it. But, you know, I did what I had to do back when we didn't have paratransit. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm so glad we have paratransit now. And yes, Karen, I appreciate that. The only thing is, Gary wouldn't move to Wisconsin because it snows.
Well, I was going to say, well, you know, right. Madison is Wisconsin with snow. Is Austin with snow? You know, I mean, you're going behind the you're going behind the cheddar curtain. You know, so I don't know.
Well, maybe it's like I don't mind. It's like I always, as I said to you before, I always considered myself a liberal.
Yeah, until you got to Austin.
To a certain extent. Yeah, until I came to Austin, and I used to say, well, I'm a liberal, but my knees don't jerk.
Yeah, well, you'd find the exact same scenario in Madison.
With snow, yeah.
Yes.
So I think,
yes. Yes.
Well, I see, me, I'd rather have snow than this Texas heat. I hate it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's always warm, and it's always sunny, and it's like, you know. Unless, you know, we have a few days of really cold weather, but most of the time it's like endless summer, and I hate that.
And it's cold, yeah, it's cold, just chilling weather, too, because it's those horrible 40s with humidity where it might as well be 10 below. It just cuts right through you when it gets that cold.
Oh, I went to Galveston. Gary, Gary and I met, he lived in Galveston. And I went to Galveston. I was going to school at the time, and so I went to Galveston during spring break. And I asked Gary, well, you know, what should I pack? And he said, oh, it's about in the 60s, 50s, 60s. I thought, okay.
You
know, and so, you know, I didn't pack any sweatshirts. I just barely packed a sweater. I didn't pack a jacket.
Right.
And his apartment was an old apartment, so it was real drafty anyway and not well heated. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take a hot bath. No, I'm not. I got, you know, just a little puddle of hot water, and then it went cold.
Right.
Oh, my, you know.
Exactly.
It gave me a reason to just stay in bed all day.
Precisely. I'm with you.
You know, I'm cold. I'm not moving anywhere, right. You know. You want dinner, fix it yourself.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
But, yeah, with that humidity, I mean, and I learned here, and it's weird because I brought all this sweats and stuff, and you know, because I lived in Monterey before I moved here,
right.
And it can get kind of chilly there.
Absolutely.
And I had to throw out or get rid of most of that stuff because I need a jacket here maybe for a month,
right?
If that, you know, and. But yeah, I hate the weather. That would be unfortunately anywhere in Texas. But you know, I was like, I cannot get used to it. And everybody would tell me, "You'll get used to it." I've been here now since 2002.
Right, you're not going to get used to it. Nope. It is what it is.
I'm not going to get.
No.
Yeah.
That's it. But you know, back to the
I'd rather deal with snow.
Well, and you know, there's two schools of thought. Some people feel that way because, of course, when you're cold, you can keep putting things on. When you're hot, there's only so much you can take off. But then there's other people right. who are in Gary's camp who are like, I am not putting up with the ice. I am not putting up with the shoveling. I don't want anything to do with any of it. And I get that, too. So it's too.
Yeah. Well, Gary's got a plate in his ankle from slipping on ice.
See, well, so there you go. So he's not ready to do this.
And he also says, well, you've never traveled in snow. It's a blind, and they call it the blind man's fog.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I said, oh, I can see that because you can't find the edge of the curb, and you know,
yeah,
if you're not well shoveled, it's, you know, and you could run into ice. And when we had a little bit of snow here in Austin a few years back, I didn't know how to walk on the stuff. And I'd been
right
to Big Bear or, you know, different places in California.
But that's different than being on a street.
Yeah, it's totally. I mean, you expect it. You're wearing snowshoes. Right. I was just wearing regular shoes.
Yeah,
you know?
So you might actually talk your way out of saying you'd prefer the snow if you had it for a little while.
Yeah, that's possibly true. Although, you know, I always think it's better to be cold. You can put stuff on, but
Now, interestingly, by the way, the deal with the school zones and Waymo in Austin is legendary because apparently the cars are not programmed to stop for those buses. But so the Austin ISD actually went to Waymo and said, please stop driving these until you can figure this out. And Waymo said no. And so
I heard that.
Yeah. And so what you really have here is a very bad accident waiting to happen. And you know that Austin will sue them within an inch of their charter. So it's going to be interesting because, of course, they keep saying we'll do these software updates, but they've done half a dozen of them and it doesn't work.
Right. You know, and I think like because if you have a cane and somebody wants to make a right on red, you've got the right of way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could be dead right.
Well, that's exactly
that
right.
That Waymo thing doesn't know that.
No, it's absolutely not going to know that. And since December alone, there were, like in December and January, there were over 20 instances where they just sailed right past the school buses with all the lights flashing and the signs out and all that. So, you know, this is going to get interesting one day.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me today on a paratransit bus, and he really had to throw on the brakes
right. If
he hadn't been paying attention.
Right.
You know, but...
And they're not counting those. Yeah. You don't hear about those close calls. So
No, yeah. You don't. The driver was saying, yes, they're the bane of our existence. I said, yeah, I can imagine.
Well, here, it's actually worse. We have I-40, which is just a death trap of an interstate to begin with, and they're going to be testing Waymo semis. Well, where I wouldn't be driving?
No.
Oh, yes. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go the long way. I'm not going on I-40. But yeah, that's the deal.
No.
Yeah. So it's been approved for that apparently. So they had dismantled the dedicated autonomous trucking program, thank God, before the test. But they're looking at it again, and they had tested them for a while, and no. And so they were testing semis in Chandler, Arizona. Oh, my God, it's a suburb of Phoenix. So we'll see.
Oh, no.
We'll see.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And, you know, it's just terrible. And I will not take, an Uber or Lyft if it's Waymo. I have a hard enough time communicating with the drivers as it is.
Well, the funniest thing is, I agree, it doesn't happen that often, but when it does happen, it makes the news in Phoenix. And my favorite was this poor guy that is in his Waymo, and it's in a traffic circle, and it's doing it for about 2.5 hours. It will not stop going in a circle. He's trying to open the door.
Oh, my God.
He's trying to open the door and throw himself out of the Waymo. And meanwhile, he's calling them on the phone, you know, and they say, we're aware of your situation. No, you're not. And so, yeah, it's hilarious, but it's only hilarious because the guy wasn't killed. So we'll see. Yeah.
And if you're not the one it's happening to.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. There were three girls that were tourists, and they were interviewed, actually. And she said, I'm never getting on one of these again. So, and that was the same kind of deal. So, yeah, it makes for good news on a slow day. That's about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So,
well, always wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for rescuing me.
Sure.
I'll be here for the next 2 weeks. Try the veal. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right. Thanks.
Okay,
all right.
Well, I hope John's having a good time wherever he is.
I do, too. All right. I'll let you know when I know. All right. So on that note, we will talk to a number of you who are hopefully patiently waiting, well, or not, right here on WGN Radio.
High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far, far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by, sometimes I wonder why. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. 1957 Stardust, Billy Ward and his Dominoes. And lead singer on that is Gene Mumford. And he replaced the outgoing Jackie Wilson, who of course replaced Clyde McFatter. But it was Gene Mumford on that, doing a fine job on Stardust, also on Deep Purple, that Billy Ward and the Dominoes did. So that's the deal there. And that was a request, Dave, on the North Side. Been meaning to play that for a while. Okay, so 888-876-5593. It's unscreened radio this week and next week. So when I see a line ringing, I'll put you on hold, but there's no way I'll be talking to you till we're on the air. So that's the way that works. And while it's ringing, if I don't get to you, if I'm talking to somebody else, it's not going to ring indefinitely. The phone company has done away with that, so you'll be cut off, so you'll need to call back. But once you're on hold, you will stay there. I promise. So I have no idea who this is. Welcome to WGN. Where are you? Who are you?
Charlene.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes. Who are you?
Oh, I didn't know I was on, Raleigh. You're faded out. This is Kimberly.
Okay, Kimberly. Yes, you are absolutely on.
Hi. Hi. How's everything tonight?
Can't complain. How about you? How's Jean?
Well, we go to doctors in the next few days, so
okay.
I know.
Okay. All right. Good luck on that.
Well, we were going through a list. We were reminiscing about Charlie Rich the other day.
Oh, yeah?
So one song we really thought was pretty was a very special love song.
Okay.
But have you ever heard of one? I don't know if you'd be willing to play it. It's called Don't Put No Headstone on My Grave.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll be happy to do that for you.
We don't want to depress people. We actually kind of chuckled. We thought it was kind of funny. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
Okay.
But you take care of going solo there now.
Yeah, I know. This week and next, we'll see. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
so yes, it is, because all my life I've been a slave, and I don't want the world to know. Okay, well, yeah, I think I've heard it. Okay, so 888-876-5593. Who are you? Where are you on WGN Radio? Now, wait a minute. I have to say goodbye first. What do I do here? I think that I didn't properly disconnect Kimberly, which left that a problem. Now, are you there? Who are you? No, I guess not. All right, so, yeah, all right. Welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you? Okay, nowhere is the answer. You're absolutely nowhere. Well, we'll try one more time here, and then I'll just prattle on about something else. So, welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you? Nothing? And see, I thought that was going to be Nick from Baltimore, because it came up as 410. So, we'll just see. All right, so welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you?
Hi, this is Jim from Richmond.
All right, Jim, what's up?
Hi, I just wanted to tell you about, you know, that I'm trying to get this colonoscopy and stuff.
Unfortunately, yes.
Right, and I don't want it. So I found a commercial that said that you can get a blood test that'll tell you if you have colon
cancer. We've talked about that before, and it's not a substitute for it, to say the least. But,
right.
You know, if you want to do that, that's fine. Whatever.
Right. But I want to tell you what happened. I called my primary.
Yeah.
And she said she didn't know about it.
Right, you told me.
And she said she'll call me back in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So then I called the doctor that's going to do the colonoscopy, and they said, we don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called me back an hour later and said, okay, you need your primary to go to the website for Shield,
mm-hmm.
and they will send you a kit,
mm-hmm.
that you take it to the doctor,
yeah.
and they take 4 tubes of blood,
mm-hmm.
and they have to pack it in ice,
mm-hmm.
and send it FedEx. So there, you know what I mean. So it's not like a fake thing.
It's pretty standard, actually. They do send the stuff because they're not running it through the lab core and all that kind of stuff. But it's pretty standard. But it's not going to do what you want to do is the problem. And you can if you want, sure. But it's,
right.
You know. But if you don't want to do something, remember, Jim, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Period.
Right.
So.
But I told the doctor and I told my primary that if it comes up that I have cancer, I'll do the colonoscopy. If I don't have cancer,
right.
I will do.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. We talked about
this
before.
I'm not going to do it.
Right. We talked about this before. Uh huh.
And yep. And it's funny because when I talked to the doctor that's going to do the colonoscopy, he said, "Well, you did the Cologuard test in 25," And the thing was, I did the Cologuard
in 2020. You told me
2020.
Yeah, you told me. You know? So I remembered.
And I know, but I didn't say anything to her, you know, and you know that was that. So I just wanted, to let anyone know if they want to do the test, that's how they have to get the.
Yeah, well, it's fairly simple, right? Because it's not something that Sonora Quest or LabCorp is doing. So yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And I just wanted to let you know. And other than that, I'm not doing that great with vision, but
yeah.
I'm doing okay.
I hope so.
And I thank you for you and all your listeners for all your help. And this is not an April Fool's joke, but I thank everyone. And I hope you have a wonderful 2 weeks, and I hope John is okay.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate the call. All right. So, not wonderful doing self-screening, but it would be easy if the phone systems were like they were back in the day, but they're not. So, all right, I'm putting someone on hold. Whoever you are, just hang on and we'll get there. And that's all right. They've already hung up. It's like that. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, are they listening to the radio? Because if you are, I'm explaining this specifically, what the deal is. It's unscreened. I'll put you on hold when I can, and you'll stay there until we're on the air. And tomorrow night, we've got an abbreviated show. We've got an hour and a half, so about 11:30 Central Time. Monday night, very short show, about a half hour, from what I can tell. And I'll look for Tuesday through Thursday next week and find out about that, too. And in the meantime, don't hesitate to call, but just expect it to be the way it is, and I'd love to hear from you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Barbara George, I know, 1961 on AFO, which stood for All for One. It was Harold Batiste's label, and I think they released all of 12 singles, and Sue, Juggy Murray's label, distributed that stuff. And of course, Barbara George needs no explanation, though of course that's somewhat a medley of her hit, though it shouldn't have been. She recorded a number of really fine things other than I Know, but I Know was 1961 the only thing that really hit for her. All right, so 888, it was Robert who wanted to hear that, I'm pretty sure. Robert in Stickney, I do believe. I'll have to check my notes here. Robert in LaGrange. Robert in LaGrange wanted to hear, I Know. Also wanted to hear Barbara Ann by the Regents. Well, why not? And Hello, Stranger. Yeah, never been a bad version of that, I don't think. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And yes, it is truly unscreened radio. So we put you on hold till we get to you, and let's figure out, I believe, I'm not sure, but welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you? All right, I guess you gave up, and that's the way it is. You know, I'll put you on hold, and if I do that, stay there. All right, stay, I tell you. And how about you? Welcome to WGN
Karen
Radio.
Karen Madison.
All right, Karen is back on Madison. What's up?
Yeah, is it okay to call back second?
Why not?
Nobody's, yeah, okay. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, Fran, I don't know what her politics are just because she's in Texas. I just thought, you know, we had a blizzard, but it does get cold here.
It doesn't. You know. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is that Gary ain't going. If there's snow, Gary ain't
see,
going.
I didn't know
so
that.
So that's the part of it. So it doesn't matter. She ain't getting to go unless she wants to leave Gary behind, and I don't think she wants to leave Gary behind.
Well, I don't think she should.
Yeah,
being
yeah.
alone.
Yeah.
Awful. And so I feel sorry for Jim because I don't like to see I'm alone. I've got cousins all over here. No one will talk to me.
Oh,
they just want money.
Oh, geez, that's
and
sad.
I didn't even inherit, and I just and I did not want. I didn't grow up with money. Didn't want it. You know, and I didn't inherit, but I'm stuck with this big house with everything in it. So, you know, I was just, I had things in common with her, and I was trying to help.
And that's, and I appreciate that, but it ain't going to be happening.
Well, I wouldn't want her to leave Gary either. And I don't know what Jim's politics are just because he's in Wisconsin.
No, I mean, yeah.
We don't talk about it.
No, absolutely not. And we don't talk about it on this show. It's just a lot it's a lot of fun talking about Behind the Cheddar Curtain just because it is. You know, when I lived in Rockford, we had a lot of fun with that. But no, absolutely, it has nothing to do with that in terms of Gary. Gary's just not going where it's snowing. It's that simple.
Well, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
I was just trying to help.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Can I ask?
What?
What the lion said, because I missed that.
Me too. I'm still waiting.
Oh, so you don't...
I'm clueless.
None of us know what the lion said?
Absolutely clueless. I'll let you know as soon as I know, if we ever know.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate
it.
Okay.
I'll see you.
Okay,
thanks.
Good. Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yeah, I don't know what the... And that's Ruth, of course. She wasn't going to tell me until she told Lionel, and I don't know if she's told Lionel or not, so I don't know what the deal is on that. Welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you?
This is Brian calling from the extremely far southwest suburbs of Chicago, also known as Seneca, still waiting for West Montgomery's 4-on-6.
Okay.
I've got a little bit different thing for tonight.
No, I'm going to do that, actually, because I had that all on tap to play, and then I didn't, but I can play that if you want to hear it.
Great.
Okay.
I've got a little question. You may or may not get it, because it's a little bit of a deep cut, and the question is going to... run on for just a second here. The old ship and crew, tried and true, set sail on a routine voyage in November. Nothing seemed amiss, but no one could have imagined the horror that was to come. The ship went down, many lives were lost, and the events leading up to the demise still remain a mystery to this day. The press covered the sinking with its usual zeal. Canadian folk singer Gordon Lightfoot read about the sinking in a magazine.
Right, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Right, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, of course.
No, it is not.
It is not.
Name Gordon Lightfoot's other ship disaster song.
Oh, okay. What is it?
The Ballad of the Yarmouth Castle.
Oh, God.
Yarmouth Castle was built in the early 1930s in the United States. A steel-hulled ship with a lot of polished wood on the inside.
Yeah, it was Evangeline. It was built as Evangeline before it was the SS Yarmouth.
Yes, it was. And it kept going until November of 1965 when it caught fire on its overnight run from Florida to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Many people were lost. Many more were saved. And it was a very interesting case because they don't know whether the fire was accidentally set or whether it was an arson.
Mm-hmm.
They know where the fire started, but there's a couple of different ways that fire could have started.
Yeah, a storage space was what it was. And there were a number of things, including including combustible material. And they, you're right, I don't think they ever determined the source. And it could have been, which I would think most likely, the wiring, you know, I'll tell you, the electrical disasters I run into, I wouldn't be surprised if it was wiring.
Yes, that's why they can't say for sure it was an arson, because this room, which was one of the staterooms that nobody ever wanted because it was right next to the funnel.
Right.
It was illuminated by just a bare light bulb swinging from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been busted accidentally and not noticed, or somebody could have helped it out because they were having crew problems. They just don't know.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like half of the lifeboats burned, and it was a big mess, and there was a Finnish freighter that actually was fairly close to it, and I think they radioed for help and things like that. So
yes, there was a Finnish freighter, the Finnpulp, was just ahead of it in nautical terms,
right.
And another ocean liner was just behind it in nautical terms.
Bahama Star, yeah.
Yes, otherwise the loss of life would have been far, far worse.
Oh, yeah. And the interesting thing that I find, at least unless it's changed recently, but this is one of those wrecks that they haven't found. And they think that it's about 10,000 feet underwater in the Atlantic, but it has not been found. And so, and there were several people, I mean, I think less than 100 died, but there were people taken to the hospital and Nassau and stuff like that. So interesting stuff. So the Coast Guard issued, their report. And like you say, their basic report in a word is, I don't know. And so that was the deal. They blamed the captain, who was young. I think he was only like 35 years old or something, for not taking a firm and positive action. Well, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. You're in that kind of a mess. I'm not sure what you do. So they regarded him negligent.
Well, as a ship's captain, if you end up falling into a light lifeboat at the front end of the ship, you get the next lifeboat to roll off to get a radio, and you stay with the ship.
Yeah, you would think. I don't think I ever played the Ballad of Yarmouth Castle. And I know it was on one of his albums, I think in 69, but I don't think I ever played it. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even realize it was a ship when I saw it on the album. Or okay, Yarmouth Castle, maybe it's haunted. So I don't know. Interesting. And so,
it's a 1969 Sunday concert. It also appears on 71's Classic Lightfoot and a West German release from 1973 that is actually titled The Ballad of the Yarmouth Castle.
Okay. But yeah, that 69 is a live thing. I remember. Yeah, this is not that long ago in the scheme of things. I wonder if they've ever interviewed any of the people who survived.
There's been several documentaries, both TV and quality YouTube and a free stream, where a number of the people were interviewed, including the purser off the Yarmouth Castle, who ended up being one of the heroes.
Interesting.
A lot of the crew of the Yarmouth Castle were not very heroic,
yeah,
but a lot of them were also very heroic, including the purser, who was who is interviewed.
Interesting. Well, I know that one of the things that they used as a reason for how big a failure it was that they didn't detect it early on. That by the time it was noticed, that it was already a bad situation.
Yeah, by the time it was noticed, it was a horrible situation, and it would have been a horrible situation if it was still the brand new Evangeline.
Yeah.
After 40-plus years of neglect and solving every problem with a thick, heavy coat of paint.
Right. And
now,
you know,
now, mind you, this...
They detail
the
that...
It was actually rebuilt.
In 47...
It was rebuilt by the U.S. government after World War II.
47, I think 47, because it had been a transport or something, and they rebuilt it in 47. But even so, from 47 to 69, that's a lot of years for maintenance, and like you say, put a coat of paint on it isn't a good idea. When they discovered that the windows weren't fit correctly, that, you know, on a ship, that's a pretty important thing. So that was the deal. And so they did that Miami to Nassau run. And I think it was Panamanian registry, because that's the other thing with ships. They're not necessarily, usually aren't American registry, so that changes the deal, too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what they call a flag of convenience, so they can conveniently
ignore
below the minimum wage and safety rate.
Right, exactly right. That's right, and they do it to this day. Absolutely. Yeah, so... I know the alarm bells were a problem. It was a mess start to finish. So, I don't know.
Yeah, part of the problem is where that room was located in conjunction with the ship's main wiring harnesses.
Yeah.
And the ship's radio room and the bridge. When it kicked up, it kicked up so hard that... The power to the radio room was burned up. The radio room itself was burned up. The bridge was burned up. The captain of the Yarmouth Castle actually didn't do anything horribly wrong until he rowed away.
Right, right. Yeah, right.
If he just rowed round and round the ship and sent somebody else to row off to the fin pulp to get help, and he was shouting up from the water. You know, he didn't even have to try to get back on the ship necessarily. He just had to stay around, and he didn't do that.
No, he didn't, and he was blamed very much for that. And I don't know what happened to him after that. Do you?
I don't have it memorized.
I know he's dead now, I think.
Well, yeah, look at the time, he wouldn't be alive, but...
Well, no, he could be.
He didn't get any commands as prestigious as the Yarmouth Castle ever again.
No, of course not.
It's kind of like that guy... It was like that Greek guy who abandoned his cruise ship off the coast of South Africa.
Yeah.
The miracle from the 80s where the toilets backed up and the ship sank. But despite the cowardice of the crew, they managed to get every passenger off the ship unharmed.
Yeah, exactly. So
that guy said, it doesn't matter when I say abandon the ship. Abandon the ship is for everyone. If you want to stay, you can stay.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that doesn't...
That guy kept his captain's license, but he didn't get anything larger than rowboat after that.
I would hope not. Dear God. Well, yeah, I gotta look this up because I wanna see what kind of work did he get. Period. I'm very curious about this, so I'll report back.
Okay.
All right, that's fascinating stuff. Glad you brought it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and there's a memorial for it as well, but I don't think that I think it's like in Pompano or something. But anyway, I don't think they have anything about this guy. So let's find him. That'll be interesting. And let's play 4x6 coming up on WGN Radio. Thank you. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There it is, West Montgomery, 4-on-6. And so, as promised, a little late than ever. I'm still looking up Byron Voutsinis, but the problem is he went back to Greece after all the Inquisitions and all that. And, you know, so therefore, yeah, I say he died, but the obit was actually another one, same name. And this guy, no one's heard from him since, near as I can tell. I'll continue to try and dig up something and hopefully answer all your calls coming up on WGN Radio.
The world is just a great big onion. And hate and fear are the spices that make you cry. Oh, baby. And the only way to get free of this great big onion
is to plant love seeds until it dies.
Uh-huh. Hey world, we got a great big job to do. Yeah, we need you and everybody pull us through. Oh, you know we got to clean up this place and reach.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell. Marvin Gaye would have turned 87 years old today. The Onion Song, 1970, Ashford and Simpson wrote it and produced it. 888-876-5593. Got a full board of calls, and let's see how many I can get through before the show is over. Tomorrow night, we've got an hour and a half, by the way, so 1130 Central on. But welcome to WGN. Who are you? Where are you? Well, we don't know.
Hi,
there.
This is Linda from Wichita Park. How are you?
Oh, Linda, how are you doing?
Oh, not so good. I'm not going to hold you long, but I just wanted to call and tell you that, well, I've been sick, but oh. I went to my eye doctor.
Yeah.
And, man, they treated me like I was an outside. It was awful.
Why?
It was awful.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they let the real true colors come out. She's from Iran and Iraq One. And she usually tells me, don't come in the clinic, stay outside when you park in the lot and let me know when you're there.
What?
And I'll send somebody to come in and get you. I asked her why would she do that. She said it's ever since the coronavirus.
What? That's so crazy.
I fell for it. So every time
God.
I would go there, we would call her and then she would send Bonnie out, her lady that works with a reception, to walk me in. And they would walk me directly into her examining room, and I'd stay there. I would never be sitting among the other people.
That's crazy.
Then when she would get through, she would walk me out, escort me out. She stopped, do you want to make another appointment? I want to see you within 6 months or whatever. And she'd make it, and she would walk me out to the car. And there would be, so I didn't know until my sister, she took me for a visit a couple of days ago. She didn't know. And I told her, I said, well, first of all, we got to call and let her know that I'm here. And she'll send someone to come in and get me. My sister said, that don't make no sense. She said, come on, let's go on in this office.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went on in the office, she opened the door. And the receptionist lady, which they call her, the technician, she said, why are you here? I said, I'm
got an appointment.
Linda.
Yeah.
And I'm here for an appointment to see the doctor. She said, well, there's nothing that she could do for your eyes. I said, well, I'm hoping that she can. I said, that's why I've been coming. She said, you will never be able to see again. I said, don't say never, never, you know.
Oh, my
never
God.
Never.
Well, this is not a place to ever go back.
Right. And then she said to my sister, you brought her late. Now, the other people in her office, they wasn't black people. I'll put it that way.
Oh.
And so she was yelling to my sister, you're 30 minutes late. My sister said, no, I'm on time. She said, because you told us to be here at 10:30. And she says, 10:31. She said, I have it on my cell phone. She flipped it up and let us see it. Then she shut up. She said, oh, I thought it was 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, just go straight back to the room back there. So she mm-hmm. got, the doctor came and took me straight back to the room. I said, why would she say that to me? Never. I would never get my eyesight back. Well, we've been told you that long time ago. I said, why did you have me coming? Well, we just was giving you eye drops. I said, if you knew you could not help me, why would you have me coming
exactly.
to your office?
That's right.
I said, that don't make no sense. I could have been going someplace else.
That's right.
I said, just about 11 months ago, I was seeing real good. I didn't know, I told her, why would you do me like this? And I just talked real nice to her and told her I didn't appreciate what she did.
Exactly.
And she sit there and just listened. Everybody in the clinic was real quiet because I was talking loud enough for the people in the clinic to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I will not be coming back here anymore. I said, you can, I'll give you a year's prescription.
Yeah.
And then if you do decide you want to come back, you can come back in 6 months.
Yeah.
I said, why would I decide to come back when you already said you could never help me? Why would I do that for?
Right.
That don't make no sense.
Right.
You just sucking up on my insurance, not giving me no help. And she escorted me out the building, locked on. Well, let me help you so you, I help you get to the car.
Mm-hmm.
Put it off like she just didn't really want me.
Absolutely.
In the office like that. That's what it was. I said, you know what? I will never go. I asked her, so where are you from, Iraq or Iran?
Yeah, I love it.
She turned her head the other direction because my sister, she was one of those. She was either from Iraq or Iran. We looked her up. And they said they don't even have to have education from the United States. They can come to this country and practice and for however many months they are trained over there. I said, if I would have known that she was that from out of this country, I would have never went to her in the first place. I told my sister, going forward, every doctor I see will be an American doctor.
Or American educated, at least.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
American educated.
Yeah.
And she told me, well, you going out to Dr. Greenspan out there in Palm Springs, he's going to tell you the same thing that we're telling you. There's nothing he can do for your eyes. You'll never get your sight back. Ooh, I was so mad when I left that clinic.
I don't blame you.
I don't know. I told my sister I would never go back there again. I said, I guess my skin color was wrong.
Well, that
must have been the wrong skin color for her.
That's unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. And
yes,
yeah.
It is. I wish I could have recorded. And what made me so mad, the girl that was yelling at the receptionist there, she was very young. She sounded like she might have been 21, 22. I said, I guess they're educating her real good. You could say anything
yeah.
to black people. But she had the wrong person when she talked to me. I sat and talked to her until I got, let her know every way how I felt. And then I got up and I raised up and she locked on with me. Well, let me walk you outside.
Yeah.
So I said, that was an appointment from hell.
It was. It was.
I'm not ever going to say I will never get my eyesight back. I'm not going to ever say that.
It's a rotten thing to say, but thank God you know it now so you don't have to go back. Ever.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you wanted to, you could file a complaint, but it's probably not worth the aggravation. It's probably better to just mm-hmm. cut your losses and never go near again. So
right,
unacceptable. So I'm so sorry.
I can get on the internet and complain
about her services. Yes, you can.
Other people know.
Yep, yes, you can. There's a lot of places to leave, leave your feedback. And believe me, potential patients read it. So if you have a review, review, by all means, leave it. By all means.
I'm going to do it. And my sister told me, she said, you got green stuff coming out of your eyes. She put some type of green drops in my eyes. Mm. I don't know what it is, but it didn't help me. I guess she figured she was going to dilate it, but she put some green stuff.
Oh,
I just got some tissue and got it out.
God knows.
Felt bad behind it. I felt real bad because she said I would never get my sight back. That, you know, I said, there's always hope.
When do you go to Florida again?
May the 5th. That's my appointment.
Okay, so that's just a month away.
Right. So she said, they'll tell you the same thing. Oh, my God. I said, But anyway, I'm going to get off of this radio.
All right.
And other people. But I would like a request. Cleo's back. I like that song.
Okay.
And I like his other shoes. My Boogie Shoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would make me feel, but I've been laying here, so I'm not going to mope behind it. All my life, I know how people treat me, so it's not going to hurt me what they did. It makes me bigger and stronger for what happens, you know, when people treat me like that. I love all people, so she cannot take my love.
No. Well, thank God you didn't, you know, have to deal with her any longer and that she isn't a part of whatever the problems you're facing are.
Right. So like I said, even though she treated me that way, I love every person that was in that clinic. They cannot make me hate because of your skin color. And, you know, I say I love everybody. In fact, if I sight come back or not, I can always try.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be depressed. They can't make me be depressed. I'm going to be happy if I forever see in a dark room. I'm going to be happy.
Good for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I love your show. I said, that was a clinic visit from here. I said, I haven't had a acknowledgement of my color since I graduated out of high school.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting. And yes,
yeah, it is. Do leave
reviews, and I'm glad you're never going back, and I promise I will play Cleo's back for you next.
All right, thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon, Linda. Keep me posted.
I will.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely, we'll do that on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and a perfect record all the way around. 1965 on Soul, Junior Barker and the All-Stars. Cleo is back. All right, so there you go. That's for Linda and Richard Park, and we'll get her Casey and the Sunshine Band, My Boogie Shoes, tomorrow night, I hope. Tomorrow night, an hour and a half, so figure on 11:30. All right, so I'm looking at the screen here. I don't know who any of you are, but I know how long you've been waiting. So we'll see if you are with us. Who's there? Where are you from?
Am I on?
You are. Who are you?
Hey. Hey, Raleigh, Carl from Riverside.
All right, Carl, what's up?
Hey. Hey, speaking of Marvin Gaye, I know you just mentioned him a little while ago. How did he die again?
His father killed him. His father murdered him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what his father said to him right before he shot him or not?
You know, I've read the articles many times, and it was a very sad situation all the way around.
Well, there goes my joke, I guess.
Oh.
Okay. Do you mind if I tell you the answer?
Sure, go ahead.
It's the last 45 you'll ever hear.
Oh, God. Oh, geez. Yeah, I know. Just terrible. But what a very sad, sad situation, and what a sad ending.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I heard that silly joke many
yeah,
years.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I don't know that he shouted anything, as far as I know. In his defense, he later said, "I didn't mean to do it. I was just trying to keep him off me." I think they were fighting over an insurance policy. And Gay Sr., you know, told the police, "I pulled the trigger." So there was no doubt about that. But it was a self-defense thing. And he pled no contest to voluntary manslaughter and got probation for it. He was obviously older. But Marvin Gaye, the singer, was tremendously emotional. And he was a very sensitive guy. And life just got in the way for him. I hope that wherever he is now is a much better place.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Raleigh, I don't know if you can help me out with this or not. I didn't have time to do a lot of research. This has to do with a song I heard. You mind if I mention the radio station?
Yeah, okay.
Locally?
Of course.
And it's out of College of DuPage, WDCB.
All right, a lot of people listen to that.
Yeah, on Sunday, Scott Adams, right. Just on Sunday afternoon, does the Sounds of Brazil.
Uh-huh, S.O.B.
and of course, he used to be with WNUA along the jazz region, which I liked a lot. So anyway, he plays this song this past Sunday afternoon, and his gal is singing, and I really like, kind of quirky, and I think the name of it is Love Is, but I'm not sure.
Oh, interesting. Nothing's coming to me. Now, I think, by the way,
a fun kind of thing.
I think they archive that stuff on dcb.org. So check, because I would be surprised if you couldn't find the show itself. Because Love is not, obviously that's an English pronunciation for something that probably wasn't that originally, but...
And it really didn't sound like any sort of Brazilian or Bossa Nova type song.
Oh, it didn't.
It was fun, you know? And I feel compelled now to pass it forward to whoever.
I can't imagine. You know, I'd need more information on that, but now I want to know. I wonder it is. Yeah, well, I check out Scott's website. They've got a link on dcb.org and see if you can find out. Maybe he does a playlist. Wouldn't surprise me. So let's see. Click here for website. Sundays 2 to 4. Wait a minute. Weekly playlist. Wait. Weekly playlist. Whoa. Bingo. Oh, all right. So now, that's great. So what am I doing? The Astrid Gilberto Tribute Show, the Bossa Nova Love Affair. I don't know what days these shows are, but some of the stuff they've had on Bossa Nova Love Affair, could that have been it? I don't know. Let's see what we got for that. Did they give me the dates?
You never know. I'm pulling
Air date 3/22 to 3/29. Okay. Don't give me my producer's notes. Tell me what song you've got here. Okay. They'll play Triste, Sarah Vaughan's version, but okay. Why not? I was in Marco, of course, but Rosa Passos. That's interesting. Bossa Nova.
It was kind of a pledge thing last Sunday, and he played some good stuff.
Okay,
I like listening
so nice
to that,
and wave
on
and I don't see anything that tells me Love Is, so
yeah.
I don't
Again,
think it's
that's
that.
That's the line they repeat. You know, love is this, bop 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 bop. However, it may not be the exact title of the song.
The thing that's very repetitive is Waters of March, Aguas de Marco. That's very repetitive, but it doesn't say Love Is.
It's a woman singing.
Yeah. Well, they did Astrid Gilberto's So Nice, and it's not that.
What Alice said to Ralph?
What?
She asked him where she was going.
Uh-huh.
She goes, "Where am I going, Ralph?" Ralph Cramden.
Yes, understood.
I think you can figure You can figure this one out, right? This one?
Mm-hmm.
What did Ralph respond with when she asked him?
What?
Where are we going?
Go for it.
To the moon, Alice. To the moon.
Oh, yeah, right to the moon, of course. There you are. Yeah, all right. So you can, like I say, look at this stuff. All the stuff is right online, all the different deals. Or give him a call. I'm sure he'd tell you.
Hey, listen, I'll let you go. Maybe you could squeeze in one or two yet, huh?
Probably not. Maybe 30 seconds for somebody. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. Take so that's why we have tomorrow night, you see. And so looking at the clock, we next, let's see, if you're still there. Well, we're going to find out on WGN Radio. Where are you? Who are you?
Hey, Molly, this is Nick.
Hey, Nick. Yes, you tried earlier, and try tomorrow night. If you call me when the show starts, I will make sure that you are the first person on.
Yeah, I'll either call in tomorrow night or next week. Sometime.
Okay, well, both times it'll be unscreened, so you got the idea now.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay,
all right, so now let's see. Behind Nick, we have somebody. Nick was waiting quite a while, but waiting 43 minutes. Welcome to WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you? Well, after 43 minutes, you bailed, and I don't blame you a bit. Whoever you are, so we'll try it here and find out on WGN Radio. Who are you? Where are you? Oh, you bailed too. Okay, well, it's like that. See, now that's what we have tomorrow. Okay, I've got a couple more, and let's see. Welcome to WGN. Are you there? Who are you? Where are you? Nope. Okay, everybody's bailing on me is what's happening. And I, like I say, I don't blame you for a bit. And I've got literally a minute here. Let's see. I'll make the most of it. Who are you? Where are you? Well, it doesn't matter. That's right. And so now I know somebody's going to answer because the phone's still ringing. So who are you? Where are you?
In Chicago.
Okay, well, you've got 20 seconds. The floor is yours.
I'm on the north side of Chicago.
Okay.
Name is Will.
Okay, Will.
Could you do me a favor and play Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding?
Will, north of Chicago. Do it tomorrow night for you.
Huh?
I'll do it tomorrow night. I'll be on 11:30.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a great
Thanks.
Night.
You too. All right, so Will, north of Chicago. All right, and that's a wrap. So about 11:30 after the game tomorrow night, we will reconvene. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, but most of all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Sorry I had to wait so long, and sorry I didn't get to so many of you, but that's why we have tomorrow night on WGN Radio. But before I go, I got to have my daily dose of 2020 news.
Crash, bash, smash. Plus, parachute payday ploy and enemy of the plate. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Trashed in Texas. All my excess lives in Paris, Texas. Whack a blurter at a Whataburger in the Lone Spar State. An allegedly wasted customer was chewing out the staff, cops say, who sent the unhappy deal on his way only to return. That's when the manager says he took a few punches and then hit back with a can of Whoop Trash, beating the berater with a garbage bin. The clobbered customer's in the clink, but the bash brash boss is believed to be a free man in Paris. Skydive sick leave scam. In a gravity-defying disability debacle, an LAPD officer allegedly leapt from planes while claiming he couldn't clock in. Investigators say the sidelined sergeant scored workers' comp checks for supposed injuries, then suited up for skydiving spins and gym grinds. Detectives flagged the freefall frolics as fraud, filing felony charges for faking frailty while pocketing public benefits. The DA called it a betrayal of badge-bound standards, and now the only landing he's facing may be in court. Blue's Clues. The Mark Knight has 1,000 eyes. According to police, every move a Milwaukee cop's girlfriend made in her car, he was stalking her. The boy in blue plate special was allegedly tracking his boo with license tag tech more than 100 times, and her ex too. Play Shifty for Me got nailed when the girlfriend did some tracking of her own on a site that checks plate searches. Now he's in the unfitness detection program. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.